Tell Me Lies by, or Sweet Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac. That's a good way to start the show, isn't it? Talking about lies. I don't know if I, what ideas I had in my mind when I produced the show, but we're talking about copywriting this evening, so perhaps there's a little bit of fiction inside some business writing. My guest this week is Ben Lloyd, and he's a copywriter, so welcome to Writer's Block.
Hi there.
And we're going to chat to Ben about everything about copywriting, and we've had copywriters on the show in the past, but Ben's a little bit different because he's homegrown. He's from Malden. We haven't sort of shipped him out from somewhere else in Essex. He's grown right here in Malden, haven't you?
No.
Yes, you have. Right, so tell us straight away, what does a copywriter do?
At a most fundamental level, copywriting is words that sell. So a company has a product to sell, they have a website to sell things, but they need the words put together to sell that product, and I write those words. I write them websites or brochures or letters, basically selling.
Right, okay. Tell us a little bit about your background then and how you got to this point.
Okay, I haven't always been a writer.
Okay.
I was a IT support manager, technician, engineer type person for 16 years.
Did you think you were that sort of type person?
I quite enjoyed it at the time.
Oh, okay.
But after 16 years of constantly, can you fix my computer type issues?
Oh, God, yeah.
I was looking for something else to do. I've always been good at writing, and when I found out people were happy to pay for writing, I made the jump eventually.
So was that quite a scary jump then?
I did actually moonlight for about 2 years. I had a full-time job doing IT support and working very late nights, doing copywriting on the side. And as I picked up more and more experience and clients, eventually I was at the point where I could take it full time and give up the IT support.
Right, well, you're saying that, I've just made a note about writing out of hours. Quite often when we're writers, we find ourselves juggling a lot of balls, don't we? And you know, sort of balancing a lot of plates. So you did that in addition to a job as well. How did you find that?
Yeah, very, very tiring.
Yeah.
Getting up at 6 in the morning to go to work, and then filling my lunch hour, calling clients, taking on commissions, then going back to my proper job and working through till 4 in the afternoon, home for dinner, and then back to my desk until 2 or 3 in the morning, and then up again at 6.
Right. Well, before we put everyone off the idea of copywriting with the kind of hours that Ben's been working in the past and many of my writerly friends have done as well, we're going to have a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out some of the exciting things that go with the copywriting. So stay tuned and we'll be right back after this. You're back with me, Sarah Bannum, on Writer's Block on Saint FM 94.7. Just having a chat with my guest this week, Ben Lloyd, the copywriter from Malden. And, I think I've got quite some quite interesting questions to ask later on. But in the meantime, let's start with... Right, I've got written down here so many questions, but I think probably if I jump in with how does someone get into copywriting in the first place? So go for it, Ben.
It's a tricky one because everyone comes in different ways. In my experience, I haven't got a degree, I've not done marketing, but I've always been able to write. And in a previous job, I got into the habit of writing press releases for my employer just to try and get some interest in the company. And as a result of that, I was quite active on a business forum at the time, and someone actually approached me from Jersey and asked me to rewrite an article that they'd had written by a copywriter in India, and they were very impressed by what I returned, and they asked me to take on some more work and start writing articles regularly for them. And from there, the company that he'd used to write copy for him previously approached me and asked me to take on some of their projects. And I found that as I did more and more work and I became more and more confident in my own skills and the fact that I could actually write about things that I didn't know intimately, or I could find the research to do these topics, that it broadened my horizons. And then people were actually people still come to me for work because they see things out on the internet or they hear things from other people in the industry, and it's kind of grown organically.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose in a way it's sort of networking, isn't it? I mean, I've run various networking groups and I go to many others, and it's kind of who you know and not what you know sometimes.
Definitely.
Isn't it? But
definitely.
All you need to be is the person in the right place at the right time, so that they can mention it you to somebody else, and they know what you do, and that person can mention you to somebody else. So you know, in a work kind of, you know, work environment, it can work in a really good way. Right, what I don't want to do is jump on a load of questions and say the same thing in different ways, because you're a copywriter and you'll pick up on that. So how did you find your clients? I know you knew people who knew people, but how did you get hold of them in the first place? Say you want to start out with copywriting.
It's one of the first things you really need to do as a copywriter is, well, the whole business is selling things.
Mm-hmm.
It's writing words that sell, and the first product you ever have to sell is yourself. So you have to get good at creating in a kind of image of yourself and your abilities, and really you have to believe that about yourself. You have to believe, I can do this, and confidently approach people. You will find there are websites out there that look for freelance copywriters. People will advertise jobs saying, I need 3 articles on such and such a subject. And it's like filling in an online application. You pitch for that job. You sell yourself and say, I can do this job. I will do this job for a certain amount of money, and I will deliver your 3 articles by this date. And that would be one of the best ways I can think of. It's certainly the way that I had people come to me initially, but I learned a lot from going freelance sites and selling and pitching for jobs, because it makes you think about what you're doing, makes you think about yourself, makes you think about how you're selling yourself, and that makes you better at selling things to your clients.
Excellent. And I noticed what you said earlier about, you know, selling yourself and pitching it in the right way. Not that I've been to university either, but when students are trying to get a placement at university, they have to fill in a personal statement, which is, you know, I am worthy of this course and you should invest in me because... And those personal statements, they are copywriting, aren't they?
They are, and they're increasingly common. If you go for a job at the council, the last page of the application form is a personal statement. You go for a job at a school or even at Tesco, you will fill in your work history, but the last section of any application form is always a big blank box that says about me, and that's the space that all employers look at first. So it's not just a skill for copywriting, it's a skill for anyone looking for any job these days, is how you sell yourself.
Well, here's a question for you then. Us Brits aren't that good at blowing our own trumpets, are we? Because we tend to think, well, what a big head. So, I mean, how do you get the confidence? I mean, do you have to sort of be a little bit writing fiction, maybe, and not necessarily telling mistruths or untruths, but maybe just embellishing the truth?
I think that's one of these misconceptions about advertising, because advertisers have a bad reputation for mis-selling, and if you want to advertise well, you have to tell the truth. So when it comes to selling yourself, you're always looking to emphasise the positives of your personality, of your skills and experience. Obviously, when you apply for a job, some of your experience may not directly relate, but you know those skills are transferable, and it's thinking through every aspect in copywriting or in applying for a job, anything, it's thinking through the positive aspects that you can offer and emphasising them, not embellishing them, not making them up, but finding a way to emphasise them. It's a lot about what you say and what you don't say, and choosing carefully.
That's reading between the lines is useful as well then.
It's useful for you, but not for the people you're writing for.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, we're going to have a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk loads more. If you've got any questions for Ben, get in touch with the show's Facebook page, and that's Writer's Block on Saint FM 94.7. You can also tweet in a question to my own Twitter feed, and that is at SJBWrites. So hopefully you'll get in touch and ask lots of copywriting questions. That was The Writer by Ellie Goulding. I thought that was quite appropriate. Right. Well, you're listening to Writer's Block with me, Sarah Banham, on Saint FM 94.7. My guest this evening is Ben Lloyd, a copywriter from Malden. So any questions you have for him, get in touch. You know how to do it on Writer's Block on Saint FM 94.7's Facebook page, or you can ring up, you can do, but please don't, that's quite scary. Or you could get in touch with my Twitter feed, which is at SJBWrites. Well, we're having a little fairly controversial chat, actually, off air a moment ago, and this is an interesting one because, well, neither Ben or myself have a degree. However, both of us are making a living out of writing. And there's going to be a lot of school leavers out there at the moment. Hopefully you're all sitting there just listening to the show, but, you know, you might not be. Now, what are your thoughts, Ben, on people that feel they have to go to university or they're able to, you know, they're bright enough or whatever, to go to university, and the real world? What are your thoughts on that, without upsetting everybody? Because we're only being a little bit controversial off air, but let's go for it and see what happens.
I think that if you've got the ability and the means to attend university, there's no reason not to. But I do think that there's a lot of careers out there now that you don't actually need a degree to do. We, as you said, we are both making a living from writing. You don't need a degree in English literature to start writing for yourself. You need an audience. You don't need the degree to do that. And personally, I would counsel any young person to think seriously, do I really need to go to university for 3 years and land myself in a lot of debt right at the start of my career, when perhaps I don't actually need that degree?
Interesting one. I'm sure everyone out there's got a thought on this. Just to point out, though, that I'm sure Ben as well, is neither Ben or myself are actually anti any of those things. Obviously, education's it's incredibly important to life. But from my own point of view, it's probably something that I really would have wanted to do. I do feel a little bit sometimes like, I want a degree. Everyone's got a degree and I want one as well. It's a little bit like the sweetie I never had. But there's nothing to stop me, obviously, being a
mature student.
Thank you, mature student. Thank you. You have to be very, very careful because he's just found out how old I am, and I'm not 21 anymore, sadly. 21 and about 15,000 months. But the actual idea of further education and, well, making a living, I mean, it's a very tricky one, actually, because you often find people don't maybe give you a second look if you don't have that backup behind you. But often getting out there and just, well, getting your hands dirty, actually, and just, you know, being that person that's willing to do it, maybe that's the thing.
I think back when I was working in IT management, we would quite often get applications for jobs, and there would be people who were very well qualified and there would be people with more experience, and ultimately it comes back to that blank box at the end of the application form again, because that's where you start. How is the person selling themselves? Why do they think they're good for the job? How are they selling themselves in a job? And then you look back at their academic achievements and their work experience and balance the two. So I think that, yes, education is very important, but perhaps degrees aren't carrying the differentiation that they once did.
It's a tricky one. It's a jolly tricky one, actually. I know there's a lot of people out there that may be jumping up and down at their radios and just getting a bit angry. But then on the other hand, maybe we should have this as a discussion for a future Writer's Block show. It's certainly an interesting one. Let's get back a little bit to the creative writing side of copywriting. How creative do you need to be to, you know, get the right words together to sell the company's product?
You do have to think very carefully about the company's image and the way they portray their brand, and particularly the people they're trying to sell their product to. You need to understand the audience and how they think and their preferences. And then you have to find a creative way to engage, because I can take a product and I can tell you its features, you know, it's shiny and it's big and it comes in a box, or I could tell you that this product will change your life because it meets this specific need. So you do have to be creative in the way that you balance features and benefits.
Crumbs. Do you ever get inspired by a particular product and sort of get out there and go, wow, this is fantastic, I want to buy this myself? Or do you actually just see it for the product that it is and get to work?
Sometimes you see a product and you think, that's amazing. Sometimes you look at a product and you think, that's truly awful. And other times you look at a product and think, it's okay. And the more you work with the team around it, you start to see the benefits for yourself, and you start to think, actually, that's quite a good product. So, I'm not being funny, there are some awful products out there.
But you still have to write something good about them.
You still have to write something good about them. And that's a challenge. That's where you have to be creative.
Mm.
And it is one of those things about advertising. It is, some of it's quite personal. I might think the product's not that great, but that's because I'm not the target audience. I'm not the people they're marketing to. So,
here's a question then. If you've got something that's maybe geared towards an older woman, I can't think of anything right now, but something that's geared to an older woman, and you're clearly a younger man, what do you know goes through the mind of an older woman that it would appeal to?
This is where you have to ask questions of the company selling the product, and you have to try and get some proper research done about what their customer base actually interested in, because it's very easy to sell products to yourself because you're an audience of one. Selling it to someone completely different, you do have to understand, you have to ask questions. You can't just make it happen.
You can't just make it up and go, oh, I wouldn't buy this if I was you.
No. People will see through it and they'll say, well, this must have been written by a man because he knows nothing about it.
I thought you were just going to stop there and say, because he knows nothing. But anyway, we're going to have a quick break, and I'm sure Ben will slap me during the off-air moment. We'll be right back after this very upbeat. Isn't that lovely? Or is it just me? I really, really love that. And regular listeners to the show will know that I love that because I seem to play it every week. It's just a lovely, lovely song. I just want to be part of the song, I think. I just want to go out there and start sort of jumping around and singing. But, you know, I won't, so don't panic. You are listening to Writer's Block, if you didn't already know. If you didn't, you are obviously living under a rock. I have got with me this week copywriter Ben Lloyd. And I ran a workshop at the weekend, as I often do, and one of my attendees, Dan from Harlow. Hello, Dan. Thank you so much for getting in touch. Now, he's interested in copywriting, and seems like tonight was a brilliant show for him to get in touch. Now, Dan has written, I have a question for Ben. What would you consider a sensible rate to charge for freelance services when starting out in copywriting? What an excellent question. Sorry, Dan. Sorry, Ben, but I'm going to have to sort of put that over to you. What would you say?
That's okay. There's a number of things to consider, Dan. When you're first starting out, do you have another job, or are you looking to go full-time straight away, in which case you're going to be looking for a lot of money? If you go the way I did and you hold down a full-time job and start to pick up experience on the side, then you can start to charge slightly less. There's a website out there called Pro Copywriters Network, which is a kind of loose trade association for copywriters in the UK. It's worth having a look at their website. It's procopywriters.co.uk. They have a very useful section on what they propose should be the kind of rates you're looking for. So if you want a very rough number put on it, they suggest between £30 and £100 an hour, depending on your experience. I don't know what your experience is, Dan. I don't know what your overheads are like. But with some experience, you could be looking at that sort of rate, and that's what you should be aiming towards as you gain more experience.
Brilliant. I hope that actually answers your question, Dan. Obviously, please do get in touch. Anybody else, if you've got questions for Ben as well. We've got 25 minutes or so left, so we've still got some time to ask some more questions. That is a tricky one to answer, actually, isn't it? I'm sorry about that, but we did get round to that question. But having said that, I was going to ask you a little bit later on about that. Now, how do you put a value on what you do? It's a tricky one. Again, we seem to be having fairly controversial questions tonight, but how do you put a value on what you do per hour?
You really need to try and figure out what your household costs are to start with, because that will give you the number that you must absolutely be working towards. So you need to cover your mortgage, you need to cover your food, you need to cover your electricity, your gas, all those household running costs. When you go freelance, you might swap one boss for eight bosses, because those bills become your bosses, and that will define the kind of hourly rate you're looking for. The other thing, as you build up more experience and more confidence, is not what is my time worth, it is what is my time worth to my client. And there is often a very big difference between what you think you're worth and what your client's worth. And with time and with practice, you, as you build up your own confidence, you start to think, actually, I'm selling myself short. My clients are expecting to pay more. And there's nothing wrong with asking for more money.
The worst they can say is no, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, so what do you negotiate at that point then?
I do.
Okay, and you feel confident with that?
No.
No.
But the more you do it, the more confident you become.
The easier it becomes.
That's
as well,
right.
I presume, because you're then expecting that conversation.
That's right.
Yeah, I totally get that, actually, because putting a worth on your hourly rate and putting a worth on your skills and yourself, there's a huge amount of confidence that has to come with that, and it's not the easiest thing in the world, because then you start doubting your ability, don't you? But as you say, if you've got bills as your boss, it suddenly becomes a bit easier.
But if you're getting positive feedback from your clients, they're saying, we love what you're doing, you know you're doing it right. And that then should be the kind of confidence step that says, actually, my next client who comes along, I'm going to raise my rates by a certain number of pounds an hour.
Right.
I will step up £5 an hour for the next client who comes along. And you'll find that, oh, yes, you may lose clients, but if you're getting too much work, maybe you are undercharging.
Ah, good way of looking at it. It's a quality, not quantity.
That's right.
Here's a question then. How about, is there anyone that you wouldn't take on as a client? What type of industry would you not touch?
I wouldn't touch the adult industry, just because that's my personal view.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. I have worked with the gambling industry, which I was a little bit suspect about. I've worked with plastic surgery, which was more disgusting than bizarre.
Okay.
The plastic surgery procedures are not nice things to read about, and they're not nice to write about.
Did they provide you with photos for you to...
No, fortunately.
No. Oh, okay.
The descriptions were more than enough. Yeah, if you think about plastic surgery... Yeah.
Wow, okay, yeah, excellent. Well, yeah, I mean, I did wonder if your answer would be no, I would be, you know, happy to work for anybody, but, you know, the fact that you've got some boundaries in place, I think it sort of lifts your, not your credibility, because obviously you're out there anyway, but it just lifts your view, I think, of what you will and won't do.
I think when you're a copywriter and when you're starting out, there is the temptation to take everything that comes, and I do write about a wide variety of topics,
mm-hmm.
but my experience is IT, and that's where I have the knowledge and the understanding and hands-on practical ability, so I know what I'm writing about, so it's actually easier, and you get through more work, which means that you're charging more and you're spending less time, so it's more profitable to write about what you know than what you don't.
Oh, excellent. You're coming up with some fantastic answers here. I'm making loads of notes. Brilliant. What happens if you get a writer's block of sorts, but you just can't think of anything that week or that month to write about for that client? What happens?
It's funny. You do have to look for inspiration in very strange places. We were talking off air about one of the projects I write about, which is for hair loss treatment products, which once a month would be fine, but twice a week you've got to come up with something new every single time. And I've been watching the World Cup and making a mental note of players who are losing their hair, because then that feeds into topics. My kids will spot things in the paper or on the news and say, oh, you should make a note of this because it will be handy for your project. You do have to look for inspiration in funny places, and that's the creative aspect of copywriting, is looking for inspiration or something that fires your imagination. It could be a book, it could be an article somewhere online, it could be looking out the window or going on the underground, all kinds of things.
So actually getting out and about is just useful anyway.
Yes.
So as you would with fiction writing, actually, you just need sometimes to just change your surroundings.
Yes,
and just have something else coming at you. Just had a note back from Dan from Harlow saying, brilliant, thank you very much for the answer. So nice bit of feedback there. Before we go to the next break, just what's your website?
www.tech-write.co.uk.
Right, so if anybody wants to just have a look on there while we're having a chat, then you can also, I'm sure Ben will be happy for you to get in touch anyway and ask any questions, wouldn't you?
Yep, go for it.
Excellent. But also we've got about 15 or so minutes left, so if you do want to ask another question on the show's Facebook page, which is Writer's Block on Saint FM 94.7, or you can get in touch with... Wow, a bit of bad romance there with Lady Gaga. Right, well, you've got me, and that's Sarah Bannon, Writer's Block. We've got 10 minutes left, and we've got one more track before we play out this evening. So let's continue with Ben, our modern copywriter, and chat a little bit more about... Right, first of all, what advice would you give a school leaver? I mean, there's plenty of them at the moment, but someone that's interested in writing, maybe copywriting... What advice would you give?
First things first, like I said at the beginning, learn how to sell yourself, because you do have to sell yourself into these freelance jobs. I would also strongly recommend that you start reading around the subject. You figure out who the movers and shakers in copywriting are. There are a couple of them around. There's a guy called Dave Trott, who is particularly well known. Another one called Andy Maslin. I would seek out at least one of their books each and have a go through them. The Copywriter Source book by Andy Maslin, I still refer back to. Very good. Gives you some basic pointers of how to get into the habits and the practices of being a copywriter. And then I would look, if you're still living at home, obviously, and you don't have massive outgoings, start trying to pitch for some freelance jobs on some of these online jobs boards like People Per Hour, just to get the habit and the practice of writing job pitches and actually getting some projects. They may not pay particularly well, but the experience is invaluable.
So what about being an intern in somewhere up in London or somewhere a little bit more local perhaps? Because interns are obviously free.
If you can get one,
yeah,
by all means. But the competition is fierce,
uh-huh.
And you may find that they look at graduates again.
Lovely way that this programme, this show this evening has done a wow, full turn. Right, okay, and you were going to mention that the website that you mentioned earlier.
Yes, sorry Dan, the Professional Copywriters Network is free to join, and there is a forum on there which has some very useful threads where you can ask questions about getting started and about rates and pricing, and you'll find some useful information from, you know, professional copywriters, and they're more than willing to help out. So that's definitely worth signing up for if you're serious about getting into this.
Brilliant. Well, I hope you heard that, Dan. I hope you're still listening. We've got literally just a couple of minutes left, so if you could just explain again your or tell me again your website.
Yeah, it's www.tech-write.co.uk.
okay, you're also on Twitter.